What are the chances of technology not working? Better than average. That's a classic clip from Crocodile Dundee 2, and you remember that the tough guy says to him, what are the chances of you getting out of here with that jacket? And he throws a knife, and you saw that. And Dundee says, better than average. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to discover afresh what it is that you're saying to us from scriptures that are both timeless and timely, that are both familiar and yet new every time we read and contemplate. And that is the blessing of the Word of God, that it is always fresh, always vibrant. And I pray that that freshness and that vibrancy and that power would impact us this morning. Not because of my words, but because of your Word and the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the next, before I get into that, next week is Father's Day. And we have something extra special for both men and fathers. And I can guarantee you this, that if you come next week and if you drag along, perhaps reluctantly, the men in your life, the fathers in your life that may not normally come to church, they will see and experience something that they have never ever seen or experienced and may never ever see and experience after next Sunday. So we want to do something special by way of honouring men and fathers in particular. But over the next few weeks, with a little bit of interruption here and there for different reasons and for different things, we're going to be speaking about the topic anything but average. Anything but average. No one wants to be average, do they? No one wants to be an average father, an average mother, an average friend, an average employee, employer. No one wants to be average. And the reason that we don't feel the tension around this, and I actually need my clicky thing, if that's okay. Just toss it. Well done. The reason that we don't feel a tension about this issue of average is that none of us this morning, let's be truthful, none of us would say that we are actually in the average category, would we? No? That's why we don't feel the tension, because we don't think that we're average. No one has ever heard this conversation, have they, between two men. One man asks another man, hey, so what's your wife like? Ah, she's average. You've never heard that conversation. Or maybe it did happen and the guy who said it never survived. I don't know. But the truth is this. The reality of averages is this, that averages are an indicator of what is most true of most of us most of the time. So I hate to blow your bubble, burst your bubble, but this morning I need to say to you that you are part of the average. You are average. I'm average. Because averages are about what is true of most of us most of the time. So we're average. And it just so happens that marketeers are all over this like honey on toast. Because you're watching TV, aren't you? And next thing you see an ad for Join a Jig or Transform a Ladder or for the latest incarnation of thigh-firming, fat-burning, buttock-reducing torture machines, right? And then you're watching the ad and you're thinking, how did they know that I needed that? And the answer is because you're average. And I'm average. And as Aussies, we push back and we say, we're not average. We live in the best country in the world. We have the best climate in the world. We have the best economy in the world. And so if we're average Aussies, we're actually better than the average worldwide, right? Here's the truth about average Aussies. The average Aussie spends more than they earn. And just so that you know, that's not sustainable. You can't do that for the rest of your life. The average Aussie is heavier than they should be. The average Aussie hates work because of their boss. No pointing and cheering now. the average Aussie spends four... this is phenomenal. The average Aussie male, actually, spends 4 hours and 29 minutes per day on entertainment and leisure. How do they fill that time? I don't know. That's a round of golf. It's watching TV. I don't know. The average Aussie father spends 35 minutes a day engaged with their children. The average Aussie spends the equivalent of a whole day per week on the internet. I found out that statistic on the internet, by the way. The average Aussie gives $494 per year to charity. The average Aussie spends over $3,000 per year on takeaway food. The average Aussie has an attention span of 8 seconds, which means I've lost you probably about 50 times in the last 5 minutes. And the average Aussie is aged 37. And some of you are saying, hey, I'm older than that. I'm better than average. Doesn't work that way. Is it good to be the average Aussie? Over the next few weeks, I want to speak to you about three behaviours that Jesus commended, that Jesus taught, that cause us to live a life that is anything, anything but average. And so we're going to look at that. And before we get into this morning's particular behaviour, please complete the following. An eye for an eye. He would give you the shirt off his back. Turn the other. Go the extra mile. Now, I really blew this because I had the scripture up before. Where do these come from? Matthew 5. See, I knew you were above average. Matthew chapter 5. So please turn to that scripture and let's look at this together. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 38 this morning. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. You have heard it said, an eye for eye. When Jesus said, you have heard it said, Jesus is not saying that's actually a colloquial expression. Jesus is saying that you have heard it said, and what he meant by that was that the law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And the law that can be found in Exodus and Leviticus and also in Deuteronomy, that law was actually not a law of retaliation. It was not a law of revenge. It was, in fact, a law of mercy and justice. And so what was happening was this, that there were people who were offending other people, there were people who were harming other people, abusing other people, there were people who had been physically violent with other people. And so there was revenge that was exacted, which was disproportionate to the original offence. So when Jesus says, you've heard it said, an eye for eye and a tooth for tooth, he goes back to the law, which was actually a law, which was a statute of limitations on what you could exact from the person who has offended you or harmed you in some way. Now, when we were growing up in our family, we had what I called, and no one knew this, but I knew this in my own head, it was the law. It was Dad's law. And Dad's law went like this. If my children tickled me, I would exact revenge tenfold. And I would tickle them until they were laughing so much that they started crying or possibly lost control of their bladder. So, and that was the law of Dad's revenge. It was tenfold to what was the original tickle. And so in the day, people were exacting revenge tenfold. And so Jesus says, You've heard it said, eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. What he meant by that was that there's a statute of limitations on what you can exact from a person in terms of revenge or retaliation. So that if I stole two cows from you, you couldn't steal two cows and two chickens. Now, Jesus is going to do something very unusual and very countercultural. He said, you've heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. I tell you, even though the law says you can exact revenge and retaliate, I'm going to tell you this morning, do not do that. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not resist an evil person. And so out of the blue, Jesus comes with this countercultural, counterintuitive approach to offense, to harm, to whatever it may be that people are doing to one another. And he says, the law says this, but I say to you, do not repay evil for evil. Do not resist an evil person. We have this expression, don't we? I don't get mad, I get even. Someone has once said, I don't get mad, I don't get even, I get ahead. In other words, we all have an experience, a circumstance in our life where we have actually exacted revenge to be even with someone or to even get ahead. I love the story of the long-distance trucker. And he pulls up at a roadhouse for a meal. And as he's getting out of his truck and walking into the roadhouse, he sees three or four Harley Davidsons lined up together in a row. And he walks into the roadhouse and he orders his meal, burger and chips. And there's three or four bikies there that just hassle him all night. They come and sit around his table. One of them steals the steak off his burger. One of them stuffs his fist in the chips, you know, and squashes his chips. These are big, burly, tattooed, leather-jacketed bikies. And they just hassle him for the whole length of the meal. Anyway, he does nothing. He does nothing, says nothing. And at the end of the meal, when it's all done and finished, he walks out. Walks out to his truck, and the waitress follows him out. She comes back in a couple of minutes later, and one of the bikies says, well, he wasn't very much of a man, was he? And the waitress says, I don't know about that, but he certainly wasn't very much of a driver. He just drove over four Harley Davidsons. And we all have this experience, don't we, in our life, that we will exact revenge, at least to be even with someone, if not to get ahead. And Jesus says this, and then he illustrates it. He says, do not repay evil for evil. So here's four illustrations of that particular commendation. Number one, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, this is not to mean this is not to mean that you should just stand by idly if someone is in danger. Jesus is not saying, look, just be the passive person. And if someone is in harm or under attack, just stand by. What he meant was this. Most people, in fact, 90% of people are right-handed. And Jesus said, do not ever approach a person with a clenched fist. So if Karen was to approach me with a clenched fist, which cheek would she land that clenched fist on? Now's your big chance. Which cheek is that? No, it's my left. That's right. It's my left cheek. If Karen was to assault me on my right cheek, what's the only way that she could do that? A backhanded slap. A backhanded slap. Did you want it? Oh, or a left hook. Or a left hook. You can sit down now. You could see that she was just a little bit too excited about that. So for 90% of the people, if you were to slap someone on the right cheek, the only way that you could do it was a backhanded slap. In other words, what Jesus is saying is this. If someone insults you, right? You've heard the expression, it's just slipped my mind. It was a backhanded compliment. It's a compliment which has embedded in it an insult. And Jesus, and in the day, the most insulting thing that you could do to a Jewish person was to slap them on the cheek. And so Jesus is saying this: if someone insults you in a way that both offends you or embarrasses you or is an attack on your character, do not trade insult for insult. Wow. That's different, isn't it? Whoops. Here's the second illustration. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Now, in the day, people wore a shirt, and the shirt was cotton, and outside the shirt, they wore a coat. And the coat was probably a poor person's most prized possession, because through the day, the coat was their robe, but at night, the coat was their blanket. Now, you've all seen me, haven't you, in my lumberjacket, my multicoloured lumberjacket. It is, to me, probably one of my most prized possessions. And Jesus is saying this: if someone, apart from Karen, of course, and Jesus is saying this: if someone sues you for your shirt, give to them what is most precious to you as well. And what was happening was this: people were being stolen from. So there were rich people who had the capacity to engage lawyers and courts, and they would sue the poor person, and the only thing that the poor person had to give of any value was their coat. First of all, the shirt went, because the shirt was expendable, but the last thing to go was the coat. And the coat was that precious that if you pledged your coat through the day, it had to be returned to you by night time, because it was the only thing that kept you warm. So Jesus is saying, look, there are rich people who are exploiting poor people, using wealth and power to sue them for what is most precious to them. And Jesus then says, if someone sues you for your shirt, give to them your coat as well. Number three. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And in the day, again, if a Roman soldier came up to a Jewish person and tapped them on the shoulder with the blade of their sword, it meant one thing. It wasn't that they were going to confer on them a knighthood. It meant this: that as a Jewish person in an occupied territory, you were forced to carry the battle pack of the Roman soldier. The Jewish people hated this, because they hated the Romans, and they hated this impost that they had to carry this heavy battle pack for exactly 1 mile. And Jesus said to them, look, you Jewish people are people to the letter of the law. You will actually pace out, won't you? 1,000 steps, and then you will drop the pack and you'll walk away. And Jesus said to them, you know what? That is petty. That's just average. I want something for your life that's better than average. I want something for your life and relationships that goes beyond just the normal and the expected. So I want you to go the extra mile. So if a Roman soldier demands that you carry his battle pack for 1 mile, carry it another. Now, we don't have Roman soldiers, but here is the relevance to us. If someone dumps on you their burden, or even worse, their responsibility, walk with that person the extra mile. Go the extra mile. That's where that phrase comes from. And don't just do the bare minimum, because that's what average people do. But I want you to be better than average. And the fourth illustration is this: give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Again, here is the context. Every 7 years, every debt that anyone owed was completely wiped out. That's a good idea, isn't it? All those in favour? Those against? Motion carried. Every 7 years, debt was wiped out. And so what happened was this: in the sixth year, people who had the capacity to lend became stingy. Why? Because they knew that most probably those who couldn't repay the debt in the seventh year, well, that debt would actually turn into a gift. And Jesus is saying, you know what? There are people, they're hard work. You've lent to them before. They haven't repaid. You've helped them out. They've let you down. Sometimes you felt manipulated. And Jesus is saying, give to those who ask. Now, Jesus is not saying, give everything to everyone who asks, right? That would be silly. That's not good stewardship. But he is saying, go the extra mile. Do what is not expected. Go beyond and live above the average. Well, that's really hard, isn't it? That's really, really difficult. Let me just put that out on the table. Let me just say a couple of things about this. One is, isn't it true that this is difficult? Really, really difficult. But isn't it true also that we love these people? We love the person. We love the person who doesn't retaliate. We love the person who goes the extra mile. We love the person who forgives the undeserving. Isn't it true that we love these people? It's hard, but we love these people. We want to marry these people, and of course you have. We want our children to grow up to be these people. We would like to think that most people think that we are these people. But it's really, really hard. The second thing I want to say is this. Let me step back a little bit and ask you a question. What is it that people expect of you? What is it that your wife or your husband expects? What are the expectations on your life? What does your family expect? What do your children expect from you? And isn't it true, and be honest now, isn't it true that the expectations of other people seem to us an extraordinary burden at times? Isn't it true that sometimes we just feel pressed and creased with the expectations of others? But what if we went beyond the expectation, and what if we went above average? What if we exceeded people's expectations? You know the reason why we find people's expectations such a burden? We don't get to choose them. We don't choose them. But what if we had the freedom of choosing how we respond to people in life and relationships that went above average, that exceeded average, that went beyond the norm or what people might expect? How would that transform your life? Can you imagine for a moment your wife saying to you, honey, Saturday afternoon, honey, why don't we just sit on the couch and watch football all afternoon? She already does that. You've got an above average wife. What would it be like, ladies, if your husband came home from work or wherever he's been occupied for the day, he came home early and he said, you know, why don't I help you clean the house and get dinner ready? What would that be like? And I know some of you would say this, he's up to something or he's drunk or both. What would it be like if you walked into your boss's office at the end of the day and you said to him or to her, look, I've done all my work and I'm about to go, but is there anything that I can help you with to help clear your desk and to help clear your load? What would it be like if we lived our lives above average and we exceeded people's expectations because we chose to, not because we had to? And you'll find that when you live an above average life, you actually get above average responses from people. And that is actually the life that Jesus is calling us to live. The big idea of this whole Sermon on the Mount is this. Jesus is saying, you know, there's a wide road. And the wide road of life and relationships is the road that's well trodden, it's well expected, it's normal, it's average. And then there's a narrow road. It's the road less travelled, to quote Scott M. Peck. And it's the road where we live above average. And it's the road where we exceed the expectations of people in life and relationships. I want to say one final thing. All of these instructions, if you like, these commendations of Jesus speak into broken relationships. They speak into a relationship where you're hurt because someone has retaliated, someone has offended you, someone's embarrassed you. They speak into a situation where someone has stolen from you, maybe physically or perhaps emotionally, and they cannot repay. They speak into a situation where you've been manipulated, where you've been abused and used. And they speak into a situation where you've been burnt. You trusted someone or you trusted a group of people and they burnt you. And it's into these situations that Jesus calls us to live the life that is above average, that exceeds average, that's better than average. It's the narrow road, less travelled. And you say to me, you know what? That's impossible. And I'd say, yes it is. Except for Jesus. Because it's Jesus who stepped into the broken relationship between mankind and God. It's Jesus who forgave those who didn't deserve forgiving. It's Jesus who didn't retaliate when he was insulted and when he was slapped and when his beard was pulled. It's Jesus who loved the unlovely, and it's Jesus who died on a cross for his enemies. And Jesus paves the road for the second mile. It is impossible without Jesus. So I want to ask you a few questions as we finish this morning. What would it do to your marriage if you exceeded the expectations of your partner? What would exceeding expectations do in your family relationships? What would exceeding expectations do in your work environment? What would exceeding expectations do and living above the average to your friends who are not yet Christians? What would it do to your influence in their lives? And finally, what would exceeding expectations do for you? Because when you forgive the undeserving and when you love the unlovely and when you go the extra mile and when you don't retaliate, you are actually a person who is living free. It brings freedom and release to your heart and to your spirit. The life that Jesus calls us to is a life that is anything but average. It's the life he calls us to. It's the life he equips us to live by the power of his Holy Spirit. To be continued in a few weeks' time. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to be people who are better than average. Not richer than average, not more powerful than average, not more influential, not healthier. We want to be people who live our life and relationships in the way that Jesus has called us to. And we acknowledge that it's really tough. It's tough not to retaliate. It's tough not to not turn the other cheek. It's tough not to get even. It's tough not to harbour resentment and offence. It really is, but only with you is this possible, and only through you is this impossible. So would you empower us afresh to live the life that is anything but average? for your glory and for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.